And this is our number.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
It's a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15. Wow, I hadn't seen the Dow today. Dow's up 603 points. Market closing 7 minutes ago, 603-point gain for the Dow. That's a good day. Heard that Jenny Durkin. She's talking to the mayor of New Orleans who wants to get Russell Wilson to play for the Saints. Now, I tell you what, Jenny Durkin, what a free pass she's getting. And look, I've had some nice things to say about Jenny Durkin. She was less crazy than the Seattle City Council. And I know that, you know, as Shama Sawant was taking a bunch of radical domestic terrorists to Jenny Durkin's house when Durkin's address was supposed to be kept secret and private because of the dangerous people she put away as a U.S. attorney. That was horribly irresponsible of Sawant. But all I've been hearing about, I saw a big profile of Durkin over the weekend in the Seattle Times where she said she has no regrets. No regrets, really. The city suffered tens of millions of dollars worth of damage. Two black teenagers were murdered at Chaz Chop, which you allowed to happen as part of our Summer of Love. No regrets. That's dangerous. When, you know, we had high this century number of murders in Seattle last year. No regrets. Interesting. And then, but she's just getting a free pass now. It's just a fluffy Seattle Times article and what she says to the mayor of New Orleans. I would just like to see those to whom she will talk push her a little bit harder. Okay, let's get to our Fastest 15 world of news and tidy little 15-minute package. Nicole, how was your weekend? Do anything fun?
Yeah, I actually went to dinner at Salish Lodge. That was really fun.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, was our friend Brandy Cruz. Yeah.
I've never had dinner there. No, they're famous for their breakfasts. And I've had breakfast there a couple of times, but dinner's pretty good, too.
Yes, it was very good. Steak. And they had this, like, grits with cheese curds in it. That's what I got as my side. It was awesome.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah.
And Brandy came up with that location?
She did. So it was another one of our friends. It was Jessamyn's birthday, and we went out to dinner. There was four of us, and we had all gone out to see Brandy, and she lives in that area. And so she picked up dinner for all of us.
What? That's very generous.
Yeah, I have good friends.
I'll say. Wow, very nice.
Yeah.
So all right. I watched my wife power wash our sport court this weekend. That was about the extent of my activity.
Did you assist in that, or you just watched?
Well, here's the thing. So I hate pressure washing. I hate it. And my wife, for some reason, says she loves it. She said that she just can think and she says that she gets satisfaction out of pressure washing, and I just hate it. So I always say to alleviate my guilt, because I shouldn't just sit down by while my wife's doing all this work. So I always say, honey, do you want to hire somebody to do that? And she always goes, why? When I can do it for free. But then I'm off the hook guilt-wise.
Oh, I think the thing is you should be doing something just as productive while she's doing that. So she's working, doing something productive. You should pick something that you also maybe enjoy a little instead of just watching her.
After she pressure washed for about 4 hours, I went out with the blower and I blew all the debris off the sport court. So, I did my part. Quite the working man these days. All right, we told you right before the top of the hour that Dr. Seuss being canceled by a Virginia school district because he's a racist. We know about another racist as well. The New York Police Department, they have bought these robot dogs. And it's amazing. They move. They have four legs. They have a bendy knee joint. They can even walk upstairs. But these robot dogs, they're equipped with a camera. They can go in to, you know, scope out something that might be dangerous. And it sounds like I watched video of it. And I was really surprised at how fluid and almost canine these robots moved. But a New York congresswoman wants the NYPD to get rid of robot dogs because they're racist. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, she slammed the NYPD's $75,000 robotic police dog named DigiDog as racist because they often deploy it in low-income communities of color. And that was after it was deployed in the Bronx over the weekend. So, just so everybody knows, once you keep track, I don't know if you have a scorecard, but so far today, Dr. Seuss and robot dogs are racist. We'll keep you posted if anybody else or anything else needs to be added to that list. Okay, next up in the Fastest 15, the left is starting to eat itself because there are people. I can't stand Bill Maher's show on HBO because I find Bill Maher to be a very distasteful person in a lot of ways. It's not just that I disagree with him politically, but he will say some really nasty things about people of faith and just things that, you know, I don't care for. But I watched his whole little monologue on Friday night on HBO, and it was really good. And I know it shows how open-minded I am. But he was talking about the Dr. Seuss and the robot dogs, and he said, enough already.
Liberals need a stand-your-ground law for cancel culture. So that when the woke mob comes after you for some ridiculous offense, you'll stand your ground. Stop apologizing. Because I can't keep up anymore with who's on the list.
And he said that cancel culture, it's going to get everybody.
Cancel culture is real. It's insane. And it's growing exponentially. And it's coming to a neighborhood near you. If you think it's just for celebrities, no. In an era where everyone is online, everyone is a public figure. It's like we're all trapped in the hills have eyes and Wi-Fi.
And then he gave an example of a guy who works for the electric company down in San Diego. And this is the extent to which it's going.
Take Mr. Emmanuel Cafferty. He was a San Diego gas and electric worker, but he got fired because someone reported him making a white supremacist hand gesture outside the window of his truck.
Okay, and he has a picture that the person took, and it looks like he might be making the okay sign. But as Bill Maher says, we're not sure in a still photograph what he was doing with his fingers.
But he's not a white supremacist, he's Latino. And he wasn't making a hand gesture. He's probably just flicking a booger.
But think about that. The guy got fired. He got fired for a still photograph of his left arm dangling out the driver's window and the position his fingers were in. That's what gets you fired now. And Bill Maher asked the essential question.
Is this really who we want to become? A society of phony, clenched avatars walking on eggshells, always looking over your shoulder about getting ratted out for something that actually has nothing to do with your character or morals? Think about everything you've ever texted, emailed, searched for, tweeted, blogged, or said in passing, or now even just witnessed. Someone had a Confederate flag in their dorm room in 1990 and you didn't do anything? You laughed at a Woody Allen movie?
It's true. You can get the mob descending on you because you didn't say something about your roommate's wall hanging. And he said that everybody's just afraid.
And 62% of Americans say they have opinions they're afraid to share. 80% of Americans, young, old, rich, poor, conservative, liberal, white, minority, all hate the current atmosphere of hypersensitivity. Yeah, everybody hates it, and no one stands up to it. Because it's always the safe thing to swallow what you really think and just join the mob.
Yeah, that is what too many people are doing. They're afraid to speak up and speak out because they're really frightened that the mob may then come after them. And that's what tyranny is all about.
The Mandalorian's Gina Carano is a person I'd never heard of and resent that I have now. She's some conservative wrestling chick who kicks ass on a show I wouldn't watch if I was in prison. And she made some Nazi analogy. Who doesn't these days? You're like the Nazis is the new I don't like you. It's always okay when Trump's the Nazi. That disqualifies her from marching around planet who gives a shit in a helmet.
And he talked about a couple weeks ago, the host of The Bachelor, Chris Harrison, was canceled. Actually had to step aside from a gig that he's had for, I don't know how many years, but some 20-some seasons. But they'll do two seasons or maybe even three seasons in a calendar year. But yeah, because he said he wanted to grant some grace to a contestant on this year's show.
Of course, he's not stepping away because he's the host of a televised snake pit where 32 female contestants are trapped in the Sorority House from hell. It's because he wouldn't throw one of them under the bus when it came to light that in college she attended a dress-up like we're in the Old South party, which is not a type of party we should be throwing, in that it winks at a civilization built on slavery, yes. But apparently in 2018, millions of people were still doing it. And mature people understand humans are continually evolving. As opposed to Wokeville, where they're always shocked we didn't emerge enlightened from the primordial ooze. What's Chris Harrison supposed to do? Build a time machine, go back to 2018 and knock the mint juleps out of their hands? Maybe while he's time traveling, he can have a word with that Abraham Lincoln, who's now canceled in San Francisco. And they're thinking about it in Illinois. Yes, the land of Lincoln might cancel Lincoln. Memo to social justice warriors, when what you're doing sounds like an Onion headline, stop.
That was really good. And I will gladly say that about somebody who I generally cannot watch on TV. But when he does something that's really good, I'll spotlight that. And then, when I say the left is eating its own, because they, you know, for 4 years, 5 years, they, and I mean, not everybody, not everyone on the left, but the really hateful people, they had Donald Trump as the vent for all the bile and poison inside of them. So now Now do you go after? Well, now they're going after their own with the cancel culture. You got the governor of New York, Andrew Cuomo. More and more women are coming. Hey, explain some to me about that, by the way. So now they're saying that Andrew Cuomo might have to resign because two women and maybe more to come accuse him of being sexually inappropriate. Just 2 weeks ago, the story was that he had a massive cover-up to undercount by half the number of senior citizens that he condemned to death by sending them to nursing homes, and he engineered a cover-up. This is how crazy we are, that the sexual inappropriate allegations are considered more of a fireable offense than covering up the deaths of a thousand or of thousands of people who died because of your policies. And John Oliver, another very far left guy, he's going after Cuomo.
Cuomo's been in some hot water lately.
This morning, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo's administration is under federal scrutiny for its handling of COVID-related fatality data at nursing homes. The fallout comes after a 76-page report from New York's Attorney General last month revealed the state had been underreporting deaths in nursing homes and long-term care facilities by as much as 50%.
Underreporting nursing home deaths. You'd expect that less from a transparent democracy and more from an authoritarian regime like North Korea, which to this day has yet to report a single case of coronavirus.
Yeah, I like it. And then here's the sexual, one of the moments that people say he was inappropriate. He's sitting at a, I think it's a fair, and a young TV reporter who's, you know, a very cute young woman. She's sitting next to him. On one side, his daughter, who looks like she's about 16, is sitting on the other side of him. And in front of his daughter, because the TV reporter is eating a sausage on a bun, he starts dropping double entendre sausage line.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
So it's, you know, hard to hear, but that's Andrew Cuomo saying, I want to see you eat the whole sausage. And his daughter looks like she is mortified. The face that she's making at dad as he's dropping the double on top.
No excuses. You know everyone, you know the county executive.
Yeah, then introduce his daughter after the double entendre line. Creepy man, a man who's responsible for thousands of deaths. And remember when they were touting him as a presidential front runner the next time Democrats? I don't think Joe Biden's going to run again. So maybe as soon as 2024, I think that's over with now. And that is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast. Dory's Fastest 15.
Give us 15 minutes. We'll give you the world. Hey, are you a parent of a high school athlete? Got a lot of questions for the executive director of the WIAA, and he will join me live right after we check the news here on the Dory Monson Show. Well, I've been hearing from so many parents who have so many questions about their high school athletes and the restrictions that are being put on parents. And to get some answers, we've invited on the show the executive director of the WIAA, Mick Hoffman, once again joins us here on the Dory Monson Show. Hey, Mick, it's good to talk to you again. I appreciate you coming on with me today.
Well, yeah, it's good to be back and be able to talk about kids finally getting to play.
Yeah, I got to tell you, 2 weeks ago today, my wife and I went to Colorado to visit some good friends. They have a couple daughters who play on a high school basketball team. We watched a game, went to a game that night, and I thought, man, this is This is something that I haven't been able to experience in over a year now in our state. It really felt good to get out there. So now football has started. There were five games canceled in the South Sound on Friday. Was that COVID related?
Yeah, my understanding is they had either somebody had tested positive within their team, or somebody was around somebody who had tested positive, could be a family member or what have you. And if they are not able to do a solid contact tracing to assure or know who was possibly exposed, then they just shut it down. So, you know, the schools are being really conservative with it to make sure the, you know, err on the side of caution at this point as we start to roll out the season.
But what is that based on? I mean, what are, and, you know, I'm always asking, what is the data? I just saw a study out of Wisconsin, from the University of Wisconsin. They had kids playing high school sports back starting last May, and they studied 30,000 high school kids, and there was no transmission. There was one case among the 30,000 studied. So why are we shutting down games if one kid maybe was exposed?
Well, right now, those are the guidelines that we, if we're going to play, that we have to play under, right, coming from the state. And so, you'd have to ask them. For us, it's our state has erred on the side of caution. I mean, sometimes it's been incredibly frustrating for all of us. We also know we have some of the best data. So, again, struggling to find where that threshold is. But why do we do it? It's because right now we've been told if you want to play, this is what you have to do.
Yeah, and I'm not faulting you. I know that you and your staff, I know the ADs, the coaches, they all want to be back. But do you press the state when they hand down? And let me give you another example. I got an email last week from a soccer mom at Everett High School. And they're not allowed in the stadium to watch their daughter play her senior year. And so she and her husband and the other parents sit in lawn chairs on the sidewalk where they have a peekaboo view. Again, do you, when the state hands down these guidelines, do you say, what sense does that make? I mean, why couldn't these people socially distance in an outdoor stadium?
Yeah, no, we actually have pushed enough and asked enough questions and enough emails that we've been given a weekly meeting where we get to address these topics. And, what we were told this last Friday is the state is reviewing the spectator issue. Now, one thing for clarity, the state is saying 25% of fire code or 200 total people, whatever is less. And then, so like in a soccer match, it's up to the school to decide who they allow into the stadium of those 200. So that includes all your participants and game personnel and also spectators. And, you know, in some cases, schools just don't have the ability to manage. I will tell you, we are dealing with issues with parents at games right now where they are being allowed. A few of them where they refuse to wear masks. And so the game personnel are having to deal with that, confrontations. And so people have really strong feelings around masking. And so schools are, you know, easing into that. But as far as do we push back on the state? Yeah, absolutely. When they make decisions that don't make sense, we're not going to defend them. We're just going to explain them. And keep pushing for change. And to their credit, they're reviewing the spectator limitations. They're reviewing the possibility of the high-risk indoor sports, wrestling and cheer, dance, and basketball. So we're starting, you know, we're getting some progress. They switched their masking policy on gymnastics and cross country. After a few conversations. So, I guess. So the answer to your question is yes, but it's a very laborious process.
Yeah, the another one I heard about, they have a brand new high school stadium up in Blaine, seats 2,000 people, and the state's guideline is you can have 200 at the games, as you just said, but that includes the players, the coaching staff, the officials. And so each school is having many of the schools, they have a little raffle a drawing to get tickets among the seniors' parents. And again, I'm thinking, so if there are 40 spectators in a 2,000-seat stadium, that's just one of the silliest things I can imagine, an outdoor stadium. And they better review this because it's really ridiculous.
Yeah, and that's a prime example of one where we said, you know, we can't really defend that. So we tried to understand why they're doing it. And what they said is the rules they're putting out apply to high school sports, apply to community sports, and they apply to the collegiate and the professional level. So they're really, really cautious with it. And, you know, in the meantime, we're explaining, we have seniors playing right now that have 3-4 games left where their parents can come watch. And so that's a big one for us. We're gaining some traction. We're not there yet. And I'm just hoping we get there to parents. So, I mean, I will tell you this, though. 2-3 months ago, all we heard from parents were just let our kids play. That's all we care about. Just let the kids get on the field. Now the kids are on the field. Human nature. Let us in the stadium. So we get that. So that's a sign of progress because now we're dealing with our traditional issues. But, yeah, I mean, as a parent, that would be heartbreaking not to be able to go watch your child play, especially in his or her senior year.
Yeah, exactly. And I know football parents are always afraid of injury. I heard about another parent who was watching their kid's game on YouTube, and their kid was laid out on the field. And they ran to their car, drove as fast as they could to the stadium, ran past security. And I know football parents, they want to be there, you know, in case something happens as well. So last thing for you, Mick. Lots of school districts have said they've shut down any possibility of in-class teaching for the rest of the school year. A lot of major school districts here in the Puget Sound area. How are you going to let kids play basketball and wrestling, these sports that are traditionally winter sports that are going to play in late spring? How are you going to let them do that if the teachers refuse, or the teachers' union refuses to teach the kids in person?
Yeah, well, ultimately it's up to each school district to decide. But for us with athletics and activities, there's far less logistics. You know, to open up for in-person learning, you have a K-12 system. So especially those younger students, if their parents are anticipating them being back and parents are starting to return to their places of work, then all of a sudden that gets canceled. They got to come up with daycare. With an athletic team, especially at the high school level, which is primarily what we're talking about, you know, those kids are old enough to be self-sufficient for the most part, right? And the other piece is you just call and cancel practice, and that's the end of it. You're not dealing with bus drivers and everything else. The other piece is a lot of the school districts are having to negotiate, you know, their contracted employees and unions and the ability to get people to come back and do it safely. So there's so many different logistics with that. Basketball, or wrestling, if we do get the chance, or cheer dance, I would be shocked if we were able to have any fans, let alone the 200 limit to let kids play. So at this point, we're really focused on just the opportunity, because like you referenced the University of Wisconsin study, I think there was a newer one that had about 150-some thousand from around the country where they surveyed all 50 states, and, you know, transmission rates were very, very low. They weren't nothing. Yeah. They were very, very low. So there's more and more data coming out to support that, but the in-person learning is far more complicated than sports.
Got it. Okay. When did you get this job, Mick? Was it fall of 19?
Seems like 20 years ago. It was a year ago, so this is my second year, so 19, I guess that'd be right.
Man, nice timing, Mick. I'm sure.
Mike was the master. He knew when to get out. He was the only guy who foresaw the pandemic coming. I don't know how he did it, but...
Yeah, no, because I know why you guys get into these jobs, and for this to be dumped on your plate as soon as you got the gig, that's got to be tough. So appreciate what you do, Mick, and glad you came on with me today.
You bet. Yeah, thanks for having us.
Okay, you bet. Mick Hoffman, Executive Director of the WIAA. Lots more straight ahead on the Dory Monson Show. Story a few times before. I think it bears repeating because it shows how important parental involvement is to how your kids do in school. Many years ago, one of our daughters was in what they call the highly capable program in our school district. And on parents' night, when parents go sit in the classroom, listen to the teacher, there was a mainstream, I think it was third grade. Mainstream third grade, and then this was also the magnet school for the highly capable kids, third grade. In the mainstream third grade class, about 24 kids in the class, five parents showed up on parents' night. In the highly capable class, 40 parents showed up on parents' night. It just shows the connection between, what happens at home and how kids do. And I bring this up because, we told you over the last couple of years about school districts like Seattle that are eliminating their highly capable or their advanced programs because they say they're racist, because of the demographics suggests those classes are not diverse enough. And this is happening all around. Boston public schools have just shut down their advanced programs. And instead of providing a good, challenging curriculum for the kids who need to be challenged, they say that they're going to put their resources into an anti-racist curriculum because officials are disturbed that there were too many white and Asian students in the advanced program classes. And so this is yet another example of the socialist Marxist agenda that seems to be so pervasive in our cities and in our schools and in our nation right now. Instead of trying to lift up kids to aspire to and be challenged at, in a class that the sharp kids, they need that. Then they get bored otherwise. And there are few things worse for a kid, for their motivation to go to school, than being completely bored by their school. But instead, what our schools are doing, what our government is doing, because these are public government schools, is they say, hey, if you are excelling, we're going to drag you down to make the other kids not feel so bad. It is 180 degrees opposite of what we should be doing, which is lifting up, celebrating, elevating. We're doing the exact opposite. We will drag you down, you punks. Okay, we're going to check the news for you here at the top of the hour, and then our big lead at 2. That is coming up next here on the Dory Monson Show.